This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Today on The Breakfast Grill, we have Dato' Alex Ding, the Group Managing Director of the Integrated Poultry Farming Company, DBE Gurney Resources. Good morning, Dato' Alex. Welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Good morning, Melissa.
All right, so let's start with a little bit about the company. So DBE is not just a poultry broiler farmer. You don't just breed chickens for their meat. Yep. You've evolved into this integrated poultry farming business. So you produce your own feed. You have breeder farms, incubators, processing factories. Suffice to say, you cover all the upstream operations, right?
Yep.
All right, so talk to us about the business operations. I mean, how important is it for DBE to have full control of the upstream operations?
Yeah, for full integrations, the most important part is we can control the qualities. So we know what we feed to our chickens, then we can ensure our qualities to meet customer expectations.
So you have 6 breeder farms, if I'm not mistaken, and how many chickens do you raise a year?
So now we are producing 12 million a year. That means every month we produce 1 million broiler chickens. We have our own parent stock farms, so it's producing a hatching egg. So those hatching eggs were sent to our own hatchery for hatching. Mm-hmm. After 21 days, so the eggs will become chicks. So all these chicks were sent to our own farms, growing farms. So after 35 days, so the chicken can send to our own slaughtering plants.
So you do the meat side, the broiler meat. Do you also do egg production? I mean, it's either one or the other, is it?
No, our eggs is for hatching. It's not for consumer
not
eggs.
Not for consumers. Yep. Do you not want to tap into that side of the business, or is it completely different skill set?
Yeah, the egg business and the chicken meat business is totally different. Mm-hmm. So we are more focused on the meat, the chicken meat business.
So at 12 million chickens a year, what's your market share? What's DBE's market share at the moment?
At the moment, we can see that about 3%.
Oh, that's little. Is this a really crowded space?
Malaysia is consuming a lot of chickens. So
a lot of broiler farmers?
Yep, they have a lot. So Malaysia, I think, is produce about 2 million chickens a day.
So 2 million chickens a day.
Yep. So the chicken meat is still the cheapest protein as you compare with beef, mutton, or seafood. Mm. So, of course, everyone effort to consume chickens.
All right. So in such a crowded space, do you think that, you know, there's space for consolidation in the industry? So, I mean, you know, in the early days, I know that DBE bought over a rival as well, and that's how you grew to be your size. But do you think that this is something that we could see in the near future, that perhaps certain broiler farmers might merge and consolidate and buy each other out?
Yeah, if chickens is still chickens, so the competition is still great. But if all times, like early days, we are doing like in the, we are all in the races. Mm. So now we create our own brands. So we need to find a ways like to manage to market our products. So that's why we create a Harumi brands.
Right. So we'll talk about the Harumi brand in a little bit. But one of the reasons why you guys have been making headlines is when you signed the contract with KFC to provide poultry products to some outlets in Perak and Selangor for this year. You know, analysts really saw that as a good sign for the company. I mean, sign up good things to come for the company, especially after 10 years of losses. So talk to us about the contract and what that entails, the contract with KFC.
Of course, we have supplied to KFC for the past 8 years. So, of course, we are still whole very firm on the qualities. They are happy with our qualities.
So this is not a new contract. This is a continuation contract?
Yeah, of course. 2016, we just awarded bigger volumes as compared to 2015. Mm-hmm. We only have 50 million per year. Mm-hmm. So now, 2016, we have approximately about 50 million contract from KFC.
This contract is only for designated KFC outlets in Perak and Selangor, right? So about 77 KFC outlets only? I mean, why only some outlets and not all?
So KFC, they have their own internal plan. So they awarded us to supply almost supply the whole Perak plus part of the Selangor, almost about 100 restaurants.
Oh, it's 100 restaurants. But that's just a small percentage of the total number of KFC outlets, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
I mean, they have about almost 600 outlets across Malaysia.
Yep.
So the idea would be to tap into all 600 outlets, wouldn't it?
So we are still subject to next year negotiations on the contracts.
Yep.
So far, they are happy with our product. That's the most important part.
Mm. So it's a 12-month contract. So at the end of the year, you're going to have to renegotiate this contract.
Yeah.
So what are your chances of continuing this contract?
We are quite confident the contract will be continued. So maybe we're going to negotiate a bigger volume from KFCs.
So more than just the 100 KFC outlets?
Yeah, we hopefully...
Are you able to meet that supply?
Yeah, we're still finalizing the whole production chain. So we still need some time to confirm that.
How did you manage to get this contract? Because, you know, at that point in time, DBE was loss-making. You're much smaller compared to the bigger boys in this industry. How did you beat the players like PWF and Huat Lai?
Of course, the first principle is we must have a good quality and a good service. So at all times, make customer happy. Less complaint. Of course, the proven is we have supplied for them for the past 8 years. They are happy with our products.
So the price that was stipulated in the contract, that's set to be reviewed twice a year, right? Every 6 months. Why was that? Why wasn't it a fixed price?
Of course, for the company point of view, is because certain parts is beyond our control, like commodity prices, forex. Mm-hmm. These are two main factors because we can't control over the pricing on the commodities like corn and soybean meal.
Right.
So the forex also beyond our control. So to minimize the risk, so to be fair to both parties, so they definitely have a room to negotiate. Mm-hmm. So make both win-win situations.
Okay, so every 6 months, go back to the drawing board and relook at the prices.
Yes.
I'm speaking to Dato' Alex Ding, the Group Managing Director of DBE Gurney Resources. After this, we talk about how DBE has gone into the downstream retail business with their halal certified fried chicken, coming up on BFM 89.9. Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill and I have with me on the show Dato' Alex Ding, the Group Managing Director of the poultry farming player DBE Gurney Resources. Okay, so Dato', let's talk about the plan for your Harumi brand. So it's a halal certified fried chicken products. What exactly is the plan here? You've mastered all the upstream side from feed all the way to processed chicken. Now you want to have value-add chicken products. So what's the plan?
Of course, the first thing is make consumer to easily to get fried chickens in everywhere or every corners. So Harumi brands, we create these, like we have a kiosk or food truck or restaurants. So make consumer more convenient to get fried chickens.
I'm looking at a photo of the kiosk that you're talking about. It's essentially a small little stall in, you know, bright red Harumi branding. And the idea is to sell chicken products, chicken chop, chicken wing, chicken popcorn, sweet potato fries. Where do you see the positioning of this brand? Is this going to be in shopping malls or do you see it as a pasar malam product? Where exactly do you see this fitting in?
So our principle is to sell our chickens. Of course, we must sell with quality products, taste good. So the pricing are reasonable. So we provide models like for young entrepreneurs or those They're looking for a job, saying we create a slogan to say everybody can be a boss. So this was helping all entrepreneurs improve their living, make more income.
Because it's a franchise model, right? So entrepreneurs can pay a certain amount of sum. I think it's about 3,005 to run a kiosk.
Yep.
And then you split the profit.
Of course, our model is quite straightforward. Kiosk operators who are intended to do so, they're just pay us 3,005. So we provide complete set of kiosks, all the utensil equipments. Then they just buy chicken stock from us. So we provide all all flavors or powders or bag or chilies powders.
Mm.
So it's a very straightforward business. So nothing complicated and easy to manage.
But how will you fight with KFC? Who is your client, by the way? Do they not see this as a conflict of interest? You're a supplier and yet you're running a business that is in direct competition with them.
Of course, we can't say we are compete with the KFC. As of course, you know, KFC is a long history, then their brand is well known. So our target is mainly to do on those convenience and every corner they can find to get fried chickens. But there's a difference with KFC. So KFC.
So they're not mad at you for setting up this side of the business, are they?
Of course, the market is still very, very big. So KFC, of course, they have their own customers. So we believe also certain customers, because of convenience, they cannot get fried chickens. Then we can provide this convenience and easy to get fried chickens everywhere.
So is the vision to have a kiosk for Harumi fried chicken similar to Ramly Burger stalls mushrooming up almost at every other corner, right? So is that the model that you want to adopt?
Yeah, so because we are producer of the chickens, so of course we want to manage to how to go into markets our products. So more kiosks will sell more chickens. Mm. So of course we have Harumi brands, then we create, then we can work together with all kiosk operator. So everybody's is have the same targets, even though the kiosk operator have a better margins about 40 to 45. So company levels, we only have 20% of profit margin.
That's very small, though. You need the volume for that.
Of course.
What kind of volume are you targeting?
So this year, we are targeted to open 500 kiosks. So next year, our target is 1,000. By 2018, our target is another 1,005. So that's our target. For 3 years, we can open 3,000 kiosks.
Yep. That's very aggressive growth targets. At the moment, you've got how much, 100 kiosks?
At the moment, we have 150 kiosks.
150 kiosks.
Yep.
That is a fraction of your target. Are these too lofty targets?
No.
Can you achieve this?
Yeah, we're still confident we can achieve, because the whole model is low investment and high returns. So the kiosk operator, they have kiosk operator return in 1 month.
Are you seeing a lot of interest from entrepreneurs? Have they come up and inquired about setting up a franchise?
Yeah, we do a lot of A&P, even though we participate a lot of events. So the response is fantastic. So due to the investment is so low, so everybody are interesting.
How are you doing that? How are you going out and getting your name and your brand out there so that entrepreneurs will know that this is an option for them? Because at the moment, the Harumi brand is still very new in the market. Not a lot of people recognize that brand immediately.
Yeah, of course, we have quite a lot of preparation for A&P. So we also have a budget. It's about a year, spent about $1 million for the A&P. Mm. So now you can see from North South Highway, we have put up 10 billboards. So LRT station, we have a LED display advertising. So we still work very hard. Like we participate a lot of events, Expo, you know. So
Agricultural Expo and all that?
Yeah, even though we participate in Malaysia International Food and Beverage Expo. So every month we have our programs. Like July, this last month, we have 7 events.
This is a joint venture agreement with Distinct Legacy, the master franchiser of the Killiney Kopitiam, right?
Yep.
So why did you tie up with them? Because, you know, their name, the Killiney franchise, is a lot bigger in Singapore, not so big here in Malaysia.
Yeah, but the joint ventures mainly because the new company was secure mainly on government agencies or those young entrepreneur scheme, because our business model is work. Then only spend 3,005 to start out a kiosk. So government agency have a lot of scheme for micro financing. So this joint ventures company was secure for all these kiosk operators.
Right.
They have confidence 1 year they can secure 1,000 kiosk members.
So was this a tie-up? So was this initiative piggybacked on some government grant or government initiative?
Yeah, of course, this will be tied, meshed to government's plan.
Under which agency was that?
So mainly our government agencies like MARA or Tekons. So we are... we are do something match to government's plan. Mm. So of course, our government also support a lot on young entrepreneur.
Are you targeting young Bumiputra entrepreneurs, young Malay entrepreneurs? Is that why you're working with Mara, Tekun, which are helping Bumiputra entrepreneurs?
Yeah. So we these joint ventures, mainly we are going to help Bumiputra's young entrepreneurs.
Going into the downstream retail fried chicken segment, right? That requires a whole different focus than the broiler side. You have many years of experience in the broiler side already. This is relatively a new area for you. How will you have the expertise to master the downstream retail chicken products?
As you know, DBE have 30 years in the markets. So we view it all the time. We are selling fresh or frozen chickens. They still consider a commodities. Then they still have an impact of a pricing, chicken price up and down. Mm-hmm. It's quite volatile. So now we can control and to do a product, fried chickens, we can control the price. So this will be a benefit for the company.
Chicken prices are controlled, aren't they? So they are controlled by the government during festive seasons and whatnot?
Government just control during the festive season.
Okay.
So other days...
But then chicken products are not controlled at all. So your margin will be a lot better, correct?
Yeah. So we have our special recipe and our own brandings. So we are selling with a reasonable price and reasonable margin for the companies.
It's not the secret recipe of KFC, is it?
There's a difference.
That's a different one. Okay. Well, you've also recently inked an MOU with 7 Taiwanese companies. This is to collaborate in the secondary chicken processing venture and marketing. Talk to us about these companies and why you've decided to tie up with 7 different ones.
Of course, as you know, Taiwan, they have very famous on street foods.
The fried chicken.
Fried chickens. They're quite similar with Malaysian market. Taiwanese also eat a lot of fried chickens. So we also, to make it quick, then we just tied up with them. So we no need to prepare everything our own or do our own R&D. So we wanted to do it quick. So why not we just tied up with them?
So what does this collaboration entail? I mean, when you say tie up with them, what does that mean?
So the Taiwanese will do all their R&D in Taiwan. So they will provide all the recipe. So DBE just pay a royalty to the Taiwanese partner. So the R&D is done by Taiwan's the company.
And you just adopt the marketing plan, the retail approach, correct?
Yeah. Okay. That's why we say Taiwan's street foods are more famous and their product are more varieties.
So what's your plan for the company going forward? You've got the broiler side and you've got the downstream retail fried chicken side. Is the idea to shift the bulk of revenue contribution from broiler to the retail fried chicken side?
So of course, our intention is we can grow our chickens and we can sell under our own brands. That is our targets. Mm. So of course, at the same time, the existing customer is not much of change. So we still have room and our plants still have capacity to do more.
You do have plans to grow your plant capacity, or at the moment, are you running at full capacity?
Yeah, all farmers are running full capacity.
You need to increase your supply, increase your output, are you planning to expand those current farms?
But of course, our processing plant, we still have capacities. So at any times when the demand is there, so we still have we still can expand the farming side, the production side, no problems.
You know, poultry farming, Dr. Ding, is a very risky business. You know, you only need to make one mistake to wipe out your entire flock. Is that a concern of DBE? I mean, are you taking measures to prevent that from happening?
Of course, livestock definitely have their own risk, but if you're saying that it will become so serious, I doubt. We just can say that proven to you to say that DBE have 30 years, we are still here.
So you've been through the aviation flu scare, you know. I'm sure that impacted your business a few years back. How do you survive health scares like that?
So actually, Malaysia chicken industry is quite advanced. So all the technologies we are using almost similar like Western country. Mm-hmm. So the bird flu happens just a case like in a backyard farming, they're not happen in the commercial farms. So of course, when the times consumer is feared to eat chickens, but that is not right information. So like WHO have confirmed that if chicken is fully cooked, it's safe for consumption.
And you produce all your chicken feed in-house, right? Do you import any of your chicken feed?
No. So our chicken feed, we do 100% our own. So we only need to import corn and soybean meals.
Okay, corn and soybean. And that is the exposure you have to forex fluctuations.
Yeah, forex and commodity prices.
Okay, so now that the ringgit is strengthening, that's good news for you. So times were tough when the ringgit was weak.
Yeah, yeah.
I've also noticed a sharp fall in your net profit from 2014 to 2015. Was there a reason for such a drop from a profit of 3 million to a loss of 2 million ringgit?
So, as just now I say, because the chicken price also will be affected. If we're just selling live chicken or processed chicken or frozen chickens, they're still considered similar like a commodity prices. They will be pricing is quite volatile.
But in the space of the year, though, Dato, I mean, that's such a sharp drop.
So that also because of commodity prices will be affected to the bottom line.
So when you say commodity, you're talking about the corn and soy?
Yeah. So the commodity prices mainly is come from crude oil price. If the crude oil price is high, so Western country, they're using corn for ethanol as a biodiesel or a biofuel. So normally the corn is gathered for animal feed. So the crude oil also will be affected the commodity prices.
And your share price has been languishing around 6 cents since last November. What are you planning to do to improve investor confidence in your company?
Of course, that's why we diversify into further downstream, so more close to the consumer, and we can determine the pricings on our products. So this will be reflect in our next quarters. You can foresee that the result will be
so
better.
You're back in the black in the last quarter?
First quarter.
In the first quarter. And are we going to see the same kind of improvement in the quarters to come?
Yeah, we're quite confident this year is definitely a good year for DBE. Of course, at the same time, with Harumi Ventures and KFC's new contract, new biggest contract, this will help company to turn around.
Fantastic. I've been speaking to Dato' Alex Ding, the Group Managing Director of DBE Gurney Resources. Thank you so much for being on The Breakfast Grill today, Dato'.
Thank you.
I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.